God's Word. You know, we've talked about the miracles of Jesus, and we'll be talking about them a little more this coming month. And they all are outstanding in their own way. Every one of them has a very, very special meaning if you look at the meaning that he had at the time that he was doing it. And today, we have to stop and we have to look at what he's trying to show us. Folks, for so many years, I'll say when I was young, you went to church and when you got there, it was a ritual. You had to do this, 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 and this. If you didn't do that, it was all wrong, you know. If somebody was going to say, hey, whoa, you know, we got to do it this way, you know, whatever. Then after I became a minister and I began to minister, I had more rules and regulations than I could ever fit into. Y'all know I don't fit in rules too well. Amen. I'm just liable to do anything or say anything. Irvin knows that. But they had so many rules and regulations that you had to do. And if you didn't, there'd be somebody sitting where Brian's sitting the next Sunday, and he'd be looking right at you like, what are you going to do about this now? You know. And then you'd need to come to my office and see me next week. And then one day they told me, because Tommy was suggesting that I make some good choices and tell some people something, that they fired me. So we thank Tommy for that. We really and truly thank Tommy for that. That's for sure. But you'll never know what a blessing that was, folks, the day that they told me that I did not have a job. So at that point, I felt like I'd been delivered. I'd been let out of prison. And so this is where the Pharisees are. The Pharisees think that the Sabbath is a day to live into all of these laws that's been written. You got to do it this way. If you don't do it this way, it's not going to be right. So they're following Jesus around. I can't imagine wanting to follow Jesus around for that reason. I'd want to follow him around to see what he would teach me, but I can't imagine trying to follow him around to catch him in something that they could put a charge on him and even put him to death. I can't imagine that. But that's what they done. They followed him around looking for something that they could charge him with. And so him and the disciples, as we see, they're going to be accused of working on the Sabbath. And the thing is, folks, in the law of the Pharisees and in the law, they might have been right, but it's not about the law. It's about the mercy that we have in our hearts. It's about the love that we show others. And it's about when there's a need, it needs to be met. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday. It doesn't matter if it's Wednesday, if it's Friday. When there's emergency, it needs to be met. And this is what Jesus was trying to teach them. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday. It doesn't matter. It's about right here. It's about right here. It's about what's written in your heart. It's not about what's written on a piece of paper. It's not about having, you got to do this. It's about what's written inside your heart. So that's where we're at this morning. And Jesus is trying to teach these Pharisees what the real deal is, but they're, you know, like me, they're kind of hard-headed and they're not really getting it. So it says, at about the time, Matthew 12, 1 through 32, about the time that Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry. Now the Sabbath, let's stop and think, the Sabbath wasn't really what they call Sunday yet, but it was the Sabbath. It was their day they were supposed to be resting. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. But some Pharisees saw them do it and protested. Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Jesus said to them, haven't you read in the Scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry, he went into the house of God, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priest on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there's one here who is even greater than the temple. But you won't have, but you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?" They were hoping he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, "If you had a sheep that fell into the well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out?" "Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep?" "Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored just like the other one. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus. But Jesus knew what they were planning. So he left that area, and many people followed him. He healed all the sick among them, but he warned them not to reveal who he was. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. Isaiah was prophesying here, folks, what Jesus was going to be like. He says, "Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world." Then the demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. And the crowd was amazed, and he asked, "Could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah?" But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, "No wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he replied, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is dividing and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. Am I empowered by Satan? What about your own exorcist? They cast out demons. They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. But I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come." This is a reading of God's Word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, I'm the kind of guy that as I read a story, I'm putting together another story over here in my head. I just can't help it, because when I hear something, I'm building me a scene over here of what it really could have been like during that time. You know, I don't know what makes me that way, but I'm just that way. I see something, I put a story with it. And so when I see Jimmy Tubbs, I put a story with Jimmy Tubbs. He's always laughing about my stories. But I can only imagine, folks, that Jesus and his disciples were coming through the grain field. They were hungry. They probably hadn't eaten in a day or so, and they began to pick the grains of wheat or whatever it was that they were in and popping it in their mouth. We've all done that as kids, just to see what it tastes like without being cooked, see what it is without it being processed or some sort. And that's what they were doing, but yet the Pharisees were following along, not to learn to be disciples, but were following along to try to find something to charge Jesus with, that they might bring him to trial and they might kill him and get him out of their way. This is what they had, their intentions was. This was truly all they were interested in. And Jesus is telling them, he said, y'all don't even understand these scriptures. When you're asking me about working on the Sabbath, he says, you don't understand at all what the scripture is saying to you. The scriptures aren't saying to you that you have to live in to this Sabbath. Even David went in and took the showbread in 1 Samuel. He went in and took the showbread and fed it to his guys and himself because they were hungry. Nobody was supposed to eat the showbread except the priest. They replaced it each week. They took the loaves off they had put on each day, and he was the only one supposed to taste it, to eat it. But he gave it to David because his men were hungry and he was hungry. You got to look, folks, Jesus said, and he wasn't even condemned for that because it was an emergency. It was showing mercy to David. It was showing him the love of God that God had for him. It wasn't about, no, you got to wait till tomorrow. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow to eat anything because you can't eat this showbread. Even though there's 5 loaves here or 7 loaves here or whatever's here, you can't have them, David, because it's not legal for you to have. He gave them to him. And God recognized that, and he said that was good. It was okay that he done that. But Jesus said, I want to show mercy. I want you to learn how to show mercy to your fellow man. I want you to learn, in being my disciple, how to show mercy and not offer sacrifices. So many times, folks, we as Christians, we come to the table. We come on Sunday. We come and offer, we try to offer a sacrifice of our time, our money. We try to offer a sacrifice of something that makes no sense whatsoever to God. He's not interested in it. What he is interested in is you having a relationship and writing in your heart how he loves you and what he would have you to do. That's what he's interested in. But we don't want that. We don't want to do that because I guarantee you come Monday morning or Sunday afternoon, if you decide that you're going to be a disciple and I'm going to follow Christ, I'm not going to be trying to pin him down and say, Lord, I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be doing that. If you try to follow him and say, I'm willing to follow him, this afternoon or tomorrow, there will be something for you to do. You're not going to like it. I guarantee you, you're not going to like it. He's not going to give you something to do that you like. But there will be something for you to do to show your love to someone. It's his love. It's not your love. It's his love pouring out of you through you into someone else. That's all it is, folks. It's him teaching us how to be merciful to our fellow man. It's him that was, when he entered into the synagogue and saw the men with the deformed hand and the one that couldn't speak and couldn't see, he healed them. It didn't matter to him that it was the Sabbath. It didn't matter to him if it had been Tuesday. He would have healed them when he come up on them. And you know, as I think about these stories that you read in the Bible, and like I say, I'm always drawing up another story over here on the side and trying to think about what really could have happened. I read a Bible story one time about this man that had a deformed hand. And let's just say he was right-handed, and he had a deformed right hand. And I truly believe, folks, when I read this story, I truly believe that this could have actually been maybe what was going on. We weren't there. We don't know. But it had to have been a man that had a deformed hand that drew Jesus' attention. He caught Jesus' eye, and he says to himself, I'm sure Jesus is saying, this man, you know, he's got a deformed hand. He can't do the things he needs to do. Maybe it was hurt in an accident. Maybe it was he was born that way. But what if it was an accident and it left his hand all messed up to where he couldn't work? He's having to beg. He has to beg for what he has to eat, for what he has. And he's standing at the gate each day begging. And Jesus comes in and he sees him. And what would it have been if this man with this deformed hand had walked over to Jesus and took his hand and stuck it out, and Jesus took him by the hand and he was healed? What if he walked over to Jesus and said, here's my hand, Lord Jesus. Here's my hand. Take my hand. Not only heal my hand, Lord Jesus, where I can work and make myself a living of my own, but heal my heart, Lord Jesus. And let me see this that you are offering. Not only physical healing, you're offering spiritual healing. I want to have this, Lord Jesus. Offer it to me. Give it to me. Folks, that's what he's doing to every one of us. He's offering it to us. He's giving it to us. The man that couldn't see, the man that couldn't hear, he was probably born that way. He was most likely born that way. He probably couldn't hear to know anything. He couldn't see how to do sign language. He was probably just, a mute kind of a guy. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. But Jesus healed him. And you know, the first thing that he saw when Jesus healed him, he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. He knew who healed him. He knew what was ahead for him. He knew there was a life beyond this life that he had been living. How old he was, I don't have a clue. But we know that he healed him, and we know that it was on the Sabbath, and we know that he went forward. I guarantee that he did. He went forward trying to be the disciple that he is called to be. He had to first learn how to speak. He had to learn how to do a lot of things because he'd never been taught. He couldn't. But once he learned, I do believe he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. So they said, this man's got to be a Satan. He's following Satan around. Satan's the one that he's from. And he said, oh, no. You see, folks, Jesus knows our heart. You can think, you can do whatever you want to do, but Jesus knows your heart. He knows your thoughts, good, bad, or indifferent. He knows them. I sometimes scares me because he knows my thoughts and what I'm thinking, because, I have to stop and say, wait a minute, Lord. I didn't really mean that, you know. I'm just having some bad day right here because my thoughts aren't always good. So we have thoughts that he knows. And he said to these Pharisees, he said basically, this is him speaking. He says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So what he's saying is, look here, Pharisees, y'all are thinking I'm from the devil. You're not even understanding what you're saying. This is really, really serious because your thoughts are so calloused that they're not ever going to be about me. You're not ever going to believe that I'm who I am. You're not ever going to believe that God sent me and I'm his son. It's totally off the record that you're ever going to believe anything that I do. You're going to have a reason that it wasn't me. And so he goes on to say, so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven. Talking about Jesus and talking about somebody else, that can be forgiven. He said, I'll forgive you if you talk about me. But he said, the Holy Spirit, it'll never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. So, folks, what he was saying to these Pharisees are, your heart is so calloused and so bad, you're never going to believe in me, the Father, or the Holy Spirit. You're never. And I'm telling you that you can never be forgiven because you're never going to let yourself believe. And so, therefore, you have no hope. But what were they? They were at the synagogue every time the door opened. They were doing what the book said. They had it all wrote down. They were living into that every day. They were doing it every 5 minutes if it said do it every 5 minutes. They were fulfilling what that law was written. They had it all under control. But they did not know Jesus Christ. Father, as we see the Father at work, folks, today in our lives, how many of us are making the checkoff list each day, and yet we don't know Jesus Christ? We don't know him. You stop and you think about the Lord's Supper, and you think about the disciples that were around him. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew their thoughts. He knew everything about them. But you know, he didn't say, all right, Mike, I know your thoughts, and they're not where they need to be. I know what you are. You're not where you need to be. You need to step out the room. We're going to have something happen here that you don't need to be a part of. He washed the feet of the disciples. Whose feet did he wash? He washed Judas's feet. He washed all of them's feet. He didn't say, get out of here, dude. You don't need to be in here. He offered that grace and that love to every one of them. Every one of them. And folks, that's what he does to us. He offers that love to each and every one of us. He offers everything we will need here on this earth. He offers everything that he could ever give us in the world to come. You think it's good here? It's going to really be good when we leave here. It's going to be a change of address like you ain't never seen. It's going to be good, folks. That's mind-blowing. But everybody looks at it as a sad thing. It is sad. This week we had a good friend. He went to bed and didn't get up Friday morning. He passed in his sleep. Praise Lord, what a blessing. I hope that's what I do. I go to bed and I don't get up. Tammy said, hey, you need to get up. I'm out of here. You need to call Brian, come get me, because I'm out of here. That's all it is to it. It is sad because we lose our loved ones, you know, but shouldn't we be laughing and rejoicing? Golly, Bill, how much better can it be? And so today, folks, as we come to the table, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for sending his son Jesus, for us to believing that he is God's son, believing that he has the power to do any and everything in this world. Folks, there's a lot going on in the world that we live in right now, a lot going on. I hope everyone knows the things that I bet you don't know, but there's a lot going on. And, you know, when it all comes down to it, we think we can do this or we can do that to prevent some of it. We can, maybe. Yes, you can. But when it comes down to it, God is the only one that has control of our life. He is the only one. And so we ask God and thank God for his son Jesus, because it's through him that we get to have a change of address no matter what happens here. Jesus tells us is, you know, that we don't need to worry about someone here doing anything to us because they can't take our soul. So he said all they're going to do is take your body. They're not going to take your soul. They'll take your life here on this earth. But I've got you. Don't worry about it. And that is what he done when he died upon that cross. He took and prepared for us a place that we can call home forever and ever. Let us go to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. Well, Father, we come today. We just give you so much praise that you knew us and understood us, and you knew that we needed Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus, to come and to be with each and every one of us. Move into our heart and show us the needs around us and show us the emergencies that we see. And let us not worry about what day it is or what hour of the day it is. Father, we thank you so much that through his stay here on this earth, his death, burial, and resurrection, that night before he died, he offered to us this meal. We thank you. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you offer us a time that we can come and partake in the body and the blood of Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity it is for us here on this earth. It is so good, and it feels so good. And it feels so good to be so close to you, Lord Jesus. And one day we know we'll get to hold your hand. But right now we come offering ourselves to you, and we come asking you forgive us of our many, many sin, because we are sinners. So, Father, forgive each one of us. Thank you for the table that is prepared before us. And thank you for inviting everyone to this table. Even Judas, he was there. And Father, he partake just like everyone else. So Father, you offered this love to all. All we have to do is accept it. We know he chose not to. But Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.